How we doing? It is another episode of Mindset Matters. And I'm here with my boy, my friend, realtor extraordinaire, all the things, Brett Weinstein, founder, president, CEO. We're just going to say all the things of Guide Real Estate.
But I love it, man.
It's just Brett to the people who love him.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Been chasing him for a while, telling him at some point, I got to come to your office, sit down, and just have you tell the whole life story. So we started talking about this ahead of time, and now we have to. So I like to botch names on this show, even if I know the people. It could be like Tom Miller, and I'll find a way to be like Tim Myler. I don't know why I do it. So you pronounce your last name Weinstein.
I do, like Einstein.
And we were talking about Steen, and you said within your own family,
my
you go back and forth.
My cousins in Texas all say Weinstein. My family in Colorado says Weinstein, but they all came from the same parents in Colorado. So I'm not really sure like where the Weinstein thing came from, but here we are. And
like on my own.
Yeah. Like I'm my own person, but I'm a Weinstein.
I think it.
I think, yeah.
A Weinstein.
And it's also easier to be like, hey, it's just Einstein with the W, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm very smart.
Yeah. So we're going to hit, I told Brett, I got to try to find a way to make him cry on this episode. So I love to launch every episode with the same question. I can't wait to hear your answer. So Brett Weinstein, describe yourself as a kid. What kind of kiddo were you?
What kind of kid was I?
Oh yeah.
I was a gangly redheaded Jew. Where do you want me to go here? I was everywhere. A little shit. I mean,
that's exactly where I want you to go. Yeah,
I had ADHD. I still have the ADHD. There's no cure, is my understanding. They give you medicine, but it hasn't cleaned up the itches. I had a lot of trouble in school and like trying to figure it all out because until I think I was diagnosed in like third grade, and then they've given me medicine ever since. But I, you know, it was one of those things where I was similar to a lot of kids, but then I was different because I was both a gingy and a Jew. And so as I was growing up, one of the things that I ran into was, you know, there was the pseudo bullying, right?
Oh yeah. We're mean little shits when we're kids.
Oh my God. It was awful. But at the same time, what that did was develop my sense of humor because when people were like, hey, listen, you're going to hell. I was like, oh my God, that's so good exciting. Yeah. Because I've heard it's really hot in there. The hot tubs never get cold. And so like, I kind of played into it and it helped me to figure out like the sense of humor and a little bit more of the bite that I have and the sarcasm and some of those pieces because, you know, towards high school, people knew who I was. They liked me. And like, it was one of those things where I kind of, as I was growing up, I was mocked a lot. And I wish there was photos you could see of me as a child. I was awkward as could be. I was very
we have similar backgrounds other than, you know, me not being a gingy and a Jew, but
yeah, I mean, you could have been, who knows?
I'd been given like, better genes.
Yeah. Perhaps, better genes. Wow. Correct. God, that hurts. No, but like that was one of the things. So like, as I grew up, I had to like work through that and work through some of those things. And, you know, I guess as a kid, things came naturally to me. So like I apparently, and this is not today, I want to make it very clear, but like school was, I would procrastinate for everything. I wouldn't do anything. And then I would just figure it out.
Oh, same.
And like, and
I didn't get to the figure it out part. I just botched it for many years.
See, and that's fair. I thought that's the direction I was going to head, but like somehow I just figured it out. And then also, you know, being these other things really helped me to like develop the sense of humor, the sarcasm, some of those pieces. And that allowed me to fit in, even though like looking back, it was awful. Like people were really mean, but like somehow it was just
figured out a way.
Listen, we're much more politically correct than we were back then.
Correct. So I'm thinking, am I going to get canceled for saying I should have gotten better jeans?
These jeans are sexiest.
So let me ask this, what interested you? Cause a lot of what you're saying resonates with me. I was a bouncing off the walls. You know, you couldn't focus. What did you enjoy when you were a kid? Like what, growing up, what were the things you just kept doing?
Sports. I loved every sport. Love football. I wish I had played football. I don't know if I could have like done anything with it, but my parents thought I was too like skinny and I didn't have fat until I was 18 or 19 years old.
39.
I went to see you and I can remember eating pasta covered in ranch. Like, I don't know why or how, but like I had pasta covered in ranch. And there was a time when I was like 19 years old where it was the first time in my entire life that I actually saw fat on myself. And I was so excited.
Skinny fat?
No, because like
in you high were school, real. I've seen pictures. You were real. I was too.
In high school, I could have like two or three Chipotle burritos because they like they yep. came here and I would do two or three of them in like a sitting and it made no difference. And I finally like... You know, it was exciting, but I was a skinny little kid. So no, I love to read. I still do sci-fi fantasy. When I'm driving in my car today, I will listen to sci-fi fantasy in a heartbeat because like I just zone out to it. It makes me so happy.
So you don't listen to music. You're listening to,
I listen to podcasts occasionally. I listen to music with my children. And then when I'm driving by myself, it's sci-fi fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And like it, you can mock.
Oh, no, I'm not even mocking. No,
not you, but like in general, like we're, I'll let everybody else mock. If other people want to mock, they should mock. But like for me, that's my zone out. I make a ton of calls. I do all the stuff. But then when I'm like, I just zone out. When I go to sleep, I throw on a book. I use Audible a lot. And like it helps me to pass out. But like that's, I don't know, somehow like I did the sci-fi fantasy. And I don't know if that was an escape method or what it was. But, you know, I just showed you my Star Wars tattoo, the brand new one. Don't tell my parents.
It's because, pretty hip. Yeah, we're not going to tell. We're not going to tell your parents.
But no, like Star Wars, I love Star Wars. I love like the swords, I like, you know, World War II, like random things. But like I used to love all that stuff so much. And I can read a history book right now. But like sci-fi fantasy was a huge thing. But like, I don't know. I had a great group of friends. Growing up, and I'm fortunate to still be friends with a lot of them today, but that was a big piece of it, was just kind of like the sports. I could do whatever people wanted to do. I was very lucky to have my genes, which are not as good as yours,
but like, tell the folks at home, where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school?
I went to Grandview High School. I grew up near Cherry Creek High School, but my parents wouldn't let me go there because during elementary school, I got into trouble with all of my friends.
Yes.
And so they decided that they didn't want me to go back to school with all of my friends because I was going to be a little shit. And so they ended up sending, like, I went to Grandview when it opened. So,
okay. You know. Your parents knew ahead of time. Yeah. What, when you were like, let's say getting into junior high school, did you have like aspirations of what you wanted to be at that? Were you one of those, like, I'm going to be this, or were you the kind of like, I'll figure that shit out when it's time to figure it out?
It astonishes me that people know what they want to do.
Agreed.
It astonishes me that people know what they wanted to do. I had no clue. Same. If you had told me that I was going to be in real estate and actually like do real estate, I didn't know that even when I got into real estate. I had no clue. And I don't know. I think a part of me like found it and then built a vision around it, as opposed to having the vision and then going into it. So like my dad said, why don't you sell houses? I think it was a little bit more an in-depth conversation, but he said, why don't you sell houses?
It was actually, like, why don't you get a job?
Yeah. Why don't you get a fucking job, Brett? No, but it, you know, he said that he like, why don't you try houses? Cause I wanted to do something tangible that actually made a difference. But there was no vision. And like, I have a psychology degree with a minor in history. The reason I had that is because when I transferred from CU to WashU in St. Louis, the most credits that I have were in psychology.
Okay. So I have to ask, because you mentioned CU and I knew you had gone up there and then you transferred to St. Louis.
Yep. WashU in St. Louis.
How did that come about?
Couple things. Number one, I would have ended up performing on Pearl Street without a question.
Would you have been the juggler or the guy who stacks a bunch of shit and then stands on top of it?
Give me enough drinks and I can be both.
Be fantastic. Just on top of eight chairs. I can do whatever you want.
It would have been very uncomfortable. No, I drank a ton. We got high all the time. We did drugs. It's you. And you know, and this is not, please don't view this as me being smart. It wasn't. I took AP classes. I was great with multiple choice. I knew how to answer questions. I don't know. And that's been one of the things. I mean, when we talk about real estate and open exams, like I just know the answer so I can do it in 10 minutes. I don't need the whole class. I could just guess the right answer. And that's always been something that I've been able to do. But it was one of those things where at CU, when I started as a freshman, I was midway through my sophomore year based on my AP credits. When I transferred to WashU, every single one of those went away. And I just had credits in psychology. So I was like, screw it. Well, I'll just do psychology. But it was one of those pieces where at CU, I could have graduated in 2.5 years with my eyes closed. And I'm not saying that CU isn't a great school by any means. And I'm not saying that it's not phenomenal. It's just, for me, the pathway that I would have gone on with the people that I knew and like having so many people like around me that I knew at CU was not going to be a good pathway. So I made a decision. I knew people at Wash U. At that time, it was the number 9 school in the country. Ever since I went there, the ratings have dropped substantially, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you end up in St. Louis.
No, they let me in. So that was a poor choice on them. But, you know, it was one of those things where I felt like there should be more. And so I ended up going there and stayed there and graduated. Surprisingly.
So after St. Louis, I mean, did you stay in St. Louis for a while?
No, God, no. Have you been to St. Louis?
I've been multiple times.
Dude, the day that we moved in, it was 104 degrees and we had to walk stuff up 3 flights of stairs in humidity. And I, I hated it.
And I mean, St. Louis is such a pretty city. Sorry, St. Louis. Yeah. I got to talk about shit. Listen,
if you're from St. Louis, I respect the hell out of you for making it.
Yes.
I mean, not for living there, but for making it. No, like it was great. It was a great school. It was a great experience. I was not disappointed to come back home.
Okay. So after college, it was coming back to,
I came back to Denver. I worked at, Schwader Camp, a Jewish summer camp for a little bit. I worked at the Colorado Athletic Club.
What was the name of the camp again?
Schwader.
Yes.
It's a Schwader locksmith or I don't remember. Anyway, that went really well. Then I ended up at the Colorado Athletic Club where I met John Iacovetta, who I work with now.
Okay, so that's how you and John, I didn't know if you guys knew each other from before that. Okay.
No, we didn't. And the funny thing is John.
Denver Athletic Club?
Colorado Athletic Club on Monaco. John said that he hated me up front.
Well, I mean, John's honest, I guess.
No, I don't believe that at all. I think I'm fucking delightful. That said, the amount of people in real estate that I meet that are like, yeah, I didn't like you until I met you.
One of my groomsmen, Chris, I tell him all the time, the very first time I met him, I hated him. And now.
Yeah, no. So I get that. Which is,
So you guys were coworkers.
We were coworkers. He worked at the front desk and like ran that part. And I was in membership and I came in and I broke records and did all sorts of stuff. And like.
He worked the front desk.
He was the bellhop. Let's minimize him as much as possible here.
Because I'm sure John will listen to this. So you just come in.
Yeah, and I just crush it. You
membership
know,
filthy, director.
The gingy.
Would you walk by the door and be like, signed up another 7 people today? Door
sure
boy.
Did. Sure did. I called him a bitch a lot. It's fine. That's neither here nor there. I met John. We ended up living together for 6 years. And it was the best. We played Rock Band. We drank a lot of wine. John is one of the best cooks in the entire world.
I can see that. I can see that too.
He's also seen, you know, here's one of the things that you never want to have happen. And we're oversharing on this podcast. So just stay with me on this. One of the things you never want to see happen is that you bring home someone and then your roommate sees them.
Oh, sees them. I thought you were going to say knew them. No.
Okay, sees them. So John would see people and be like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Those are
the best roommates.
We had a phenomenal time. And fortunately, I get to work with him now. And he is an unbelievable teacher, coach, mentor to people. But like I've known him for forever when we played Rock Band on the video game Rock Band
together.
Like, yeah. Like he's Uncle John to everyone. Not in the creepy way.
Yeah. So how long are you working at the Colorado Athletic Club?
Hell if I know. You'd have to ask John.
Okay.
I don't even remember.
You're in memberships.
Yep.
So it sounds like a stepping stone job.
It was great while it lasted. I went to Jones International University, which has since been blown up. The building doesn't exist. So I was an admissions counselor, then a director of admissions, a senior manager of financial aid. I was all sorts of positions there. Didn't work out.
Okay. Didn't enjoy that too much.
No,
you're probably the reason they closed down.
100%. Without a question. And thankfully, you know, upon leaving there, I got into real estate and that's where my dad was like, you should try houses. And I was like, screw it. I'll try houses.
Okay. So your dad was the first one that kind of planted the seed.
Yeah. I think I said I wanted to do something tangible. Like, listen, we sold educations to people. And we drank the Kool-Aid. I drank the Kool-Aid while I was there. But we were selling $60,000 pieces of paper. And I think there's something different to be said for like an online education versus a true education and learning and being around people and really developing yourself as opposed to I'm just going to get this associate's or this bachelor's degree or whatever it might have been. And, you know, leaving that place, I looked back and was like, holy shit, am I a bad person? And frankly, that wasn't the only time I've asked myself that. Most days I'm like, oh my God, am I a bad person? And for those listening who actually know me, if you wouldn't mind just shooting me an email or text, letting me know I'm not a bad person, anything would be appreciated. This is how we know how many people listened.
That's right.
Most of them are going to be like, I'm gonna say you are a big piece of shit.
500 Brad. People just text you and be like, yeah, I remember the time you hurt my feelings in second grade.
I will be destroyed.
So I want to ask, because I told you, you know, the effort is to make you cry. So
probably
you mentioned your dad. I kid. So you mentioned your father being, you know, talking to you about real estate. What was the relationship like with your folks? Is you're kind of, you know, growing up, you're going to see you go to St. Louis. Like, did you have the parents that were kind of like poking, like, when are you going to figure things out? Or did you have the parents that just kind of realized, Brett will figure it out as he figures it out?
I was the boy in the family.
Good answer.
So we had two, like, we had,
I understand that. I understand that immediately.
Yeah. And so, like,
my sister hates me as soon as she hears this.
And I hope to God none of them listen, because it'll be devastating. But like, they were very supportive of my sisters. For me, it was very much a, he's going to figure it out.
Free for all.
And I don't want to say free fall. There was just the assumptiveness of, like, you know, I was going to figure it out. And I think, looking back, I don't know if I should have or could have figured it out, but here we are somehow. Like, I figured it out, but I don't know. It doesn't mean that it's easy or better. I love my parents. And you know, the worst part of being in my family, honestly, the worst part when I say Deborah Weinstein is my mother, or Steven Weinstein is my father, or Laura Canaster now, or Kaylee Sachs, Kaylee Weinstein, more people are like, oh my God, you're Laura's brother. You're Deborah's son. You're Steven's son. You're Kaylee's brother. More people will know me through them, because they're much cooler than I am. See, that's the save that I was going to do right there.
Okay.
I think I'm fucking the best of all of them. I mean, that's not here or there. But no, but like, that was the thing, is like, a lot of people knew me through them, or, you know.
So your dad came to you, you guys were talking about things that you could do, and he just kind of saw an opportunity or something that he thought you would fit in, that
we knew someone who was in real estate. He said, this is tangible. This is real. That was something I really wanted to do, because I felt like I had drank the Kool-Aid and like screwed people over, and I wanted to do something real. I don't love the sales job aspect, but, like, you know, they felt like I would be really good at it. And I think I'm okay.
When did you make that jump? Ballpark it.
27, 28.
Okay.
13 years ago.
Okay. Okay. So you get in like 2011, 2012.
2012, or? Early 2012.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Talk me through, you make this move, and if you can recall, talk me through, like, what the first year or two looked like.
I fucking crushed it, Jimmy.
Now do it with, like, some confidence.
Oh, I fucking crushed it, Jimmy. Let's see. It was 2012. The market was still like 27,000 homes available. It was a hard market. I don't know. There were so many people in my class when I began at Coldwell Banker. I don't know how many are left right now in this industry. I had this philosophy, and whether right or not wrong, I don't know, but looking back, God, I was right. I'm so smart. Oh my God, I'm the best. No, it was one of those things where I said, like, working on real estate can develop your business. So in lieu of sending like a mass email message to everyone, I went through and individually messaged every single person I knew on social media that I was in real estate, because I was told to do that. I was never told to do it as like an individual message, but I went through, I did floor time, I did open houses, I did whatever the hell I could. And somehow, you know, it ended up working out really effectively. And so for 4 months, I did nothing. And then in the 5 months after that, I did 9 transactions. I think over the first calendar year, I did like 30 something transactions. And then the next year was 50. And then the next year was 70. And then the next year was 100. And it was one of those things where, you know, for anyone who actually knows me, like, I don't have a filter. I never have a filter, to my own detriment, more often than not. But like, I was like, hey guys, this is a shitty house. Like, even I can see that, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So like, are we allowed to use profanity, or do we have
you
to
leave this
out? All right, great. Yep. Thank God. But no, like, it was just one of those things where it came naturally for me to just be transparent with people. And I got referred a ton. And it like,
because
I was transparent, I built good relationships, but it was also because I was consistently working on real estate. So like when you send out a mass email or a farm in the neighborhood, so people will send out like, you know, 1700 things. I walked my neighborhood in University Hills 3 times and it's a huge neighborhood. And I did not know that, but it was 1700 homes and I would walk door to door and drop off flyers. And I did that 3 months in a row in summer. And I'm a gingy, so I put on a ton of sunscreen. I chafed. It was not good. I don't want to talk about that it was rough. But you know, it was that determination. And like, if people have the right mindset, the right determination, you can be successful. And for whatever reason, I had that then. I hope I still have it. I don't know, but I had that then. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, partner with Andrew Abrams and, you know, over at Vision Real Estate and was the rookie of the year and for DMAR. But it was one of those things where I worked my ass off. I gave myself a 2-hour break. Like that was the most that I could take without going back and doing more real estate related stuff. Despite the fact that I had zero business, had no idea what I was doing. I gave myself 2 hours and then I would go back to it. And it just clicked.
Did you and Andrew grow up together?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah. His sisters still hate me. I think when I was in fifth grade, he was in
your sisters and his sisters.
Yeah. My whole family. It's most people. But no, I twisted his arm. How old were you when
you guys meet? High school,
kindergartner, early.
Kid.
Yeah. And then we went to, you know, summer camp together. We grew up together. But yeah, I twisted his arm once at the bus stop and his family has never forgiven me.
So he's part of the reason you had to go to Grandview. Were you going to get in?
No, I don't think that was part of the reason. I think there was other stuff. It's fine. We don't need to talk about potential felonies that I got away
with.
I twisted his arm and his sisters, that was it.
I mean, you probably deserve it. You know?
I do.
Come over to the office and just get over with. Just kick the shit out of you.
Oh my God.
So
Laura and Julie.
Was he already in real estate as you entered?
Yep. Him and my buddy, Aaron Levine, were both in real estate. They convinced me to do real estate.
Aaron Levine. Okay. Yeah.
I grew up with him as well, but they convinced me to do real estate. My dad said it and I was like, screw it. I'll do it. And that was it. And so I stumbled into this. This is not something that I had as a purpose. This was never a vision.
You don't have a love for homes. I would walk through them as a child.
No,
with my mother.
It's bullshit. And like, and I hate it more than anything else when people are like, well, we're changing people's lives with real estate. You are, but like no one walks into that.
I did. I wrecked 3 people's lives today. They have mortgage payments that they do not want to
get. Yeah, screw those motherfuckers. Yeah, but it's one of those things where like, we can all say this speech of like how important this is, but that's not how I got into it. It turns out that like my personality is just blunt and honest and it worked out really well for me, but it wasn't like I came in being like, oh my God, home ownership is the American dream. We're going to change everyone's lives.
I'm going to get ADHD on this episode because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. So you're connecting with Andrew, his style. Talk to me about his style of operating his business. Just individually, not guide yet, but I mean, how he operates and how you operated. How does that look?
I don't know.
I mean, are you guys like when you would, or in those early years, you said part of it was partnering with him and becoming.
Well, it wasn't necessarily partnering with him early on. It was that he was working at a company and I wanted to go work with my buddy. And then I kept doing my own business the way that I was doing it. I mean, Andrew has,
when you guys would have talks of, he's doing this, you're doing this. How did that,
Jimmy?
Did he give you many looks where he was like, "What the hell are you doing?"
No, never. He was doing a lot of like flips and like wholesaling, and he started on a different pathway than I did. I was doing mostly just residential resale and sale.
Gotcha.
So like it was a very different pathway. If we want to really talk about Andrew and like our relationship, I mean the big thing that I know is that every time that we have drank together, we have both gotten very drunk, and he spilled a drink on me every single time. And I think that we are
making up for you twisting 15
years in where I get a Jack and Ginger or a Jack and Coke spilled on me every single time that we drink together.
Jack and Ginger. We're going to leave that one. Okay. So you become rookie of the year. You're growing. When did you okay. Hold on. I'm jumping ahead.
Please
You're with
Wink.
You and your wife, Emmy, you have been together for how long? How long have you two been together?
Too long, Jimmy.
Yeah, don't say that. She's definitely going to listen to this. Don't get me in trouble.
Like this.
You're going to be fine, right? Were you with her when you got into real estate?
Nope.
Okay. So, because I was going to ask, as you're growing, at what point did you kind of start to realize that you wanted something more than just your business?
Never.
What point did like this start?
All I wanted was my business. I still only want my business. Now I just run a company on accident. Let's see. Better answer. So first off, I met my wife in preschool. We went to preschool together. We dated on and off at post college. Like we've been dating on and off for our entire lives. And then we finally were like, this is stupid. We should get married and call it a day. And now we have two great kids and.
Okay, we're going to get to them too, because we can't avoid the adorableness.
Alex and Lucy, Jesus, yeah. They're the best. What was the question?
When did you kind of realize that you wanted to operate something more than just you independent business?
I'm glad you asked. My dumb ass, the reason that Jimmy, I can't be satisfied with the status quo. And I hate to say it, looking back, would I have done all the things that I have done if I could just, like, if I had just been in real estate and just been a realtor? I was on a trajectory to destroy. But one of the things that happens with, you know, a lot of pieces within this industry is that it becomes cyclical. And I've told you this before, and I think a lot of people know this. I don't love our industry. And I became a quantity agent. I worked with a ton of different clients. I was working with, you know, 100 plus clients a year. And the hard part of that for me was that every couple of days I would be working with a new agent, and there was someone new, and I really loved my clients. I really liked the process, but I really struggled with just in general with real estate agents, and it became frustrating, and I wanted to do more. And so like when I realized that I'd reached the area of success and that I could keep building on it, everything was so good. But at the same time, like, I wanted to do more. And I don't know where that was instilled. I guarantee it was my parents. But like I couldn't settle. And so, you know, I don't know, 6-7 years in, I went over to Madison and Company. I was a managing broker, you know, a shareholder, a part owner. And I decided to become a managing broker. And that kind of just naturally transitioned into me building a team and then building off from there into my own company. And then kind of here we are now. But it was one of those things where I hate that I can't be satisfied. I hate it. I am so thankful for every single person that works with us as a guide. I am so thankful of the growth that they have and how amazing they're doing with real estate, especially in a hard year like this. I love them. I love what we're doing. But there's a part of my mind, it's not a big part, but there's a part of my mind that says, Brett, why couldn't you have just been happy? Like, why do you always need to do more? And I don't know the answer, and I'm sure I could talk to a psychiatrist and get some medicine prescribed, but like I wanted to push it. I wanted to do more than what I was doing. And
is part of that coming from a standpoint you mentioned, and I think you and I again see eye to eye, that there are things we love about what we do, but there are things we also do not like about the industry we do it in. Is part of that endeavor to improve, correct, adjust the things about the industry that you don't like?
Yeah, I'm going to take shots now.
Hit it.
My agents are better than most agents.
Attaboy.
They're actually trained. They're educated. I'm so sick of hearing about people that don't know what the hell they're doing or don't know how to make it through a transaction, or this is your second transaction. You have no formal training. And dog, people in real estate are working on the biggest transaction of people's lives.
Flying blind many a times. And
they're awful. This isn't a sales job. As much as it is, the thing that you're selling is yourself. You're not selling a house. And it's such crap that we've gotten to this stage. And all these lawsuits, all these things that are happening right now is because of the brokerages that are out there. It's because of the people that are out there. Mm-hmm. And we should be and need to be better. And I'm so thankful that the people that work with us at Guide are striving to be better every single day. And I'm not doing this as a plug for me or for Guide. I don't give two shits if people want to come over here. But like, I look out and I respect the people out there.
I get very defensive of, because I think that my side of the industry is the same way. You have people who have zero idea or zero idea of how they can negatively impact. Talk about changing people's lives. Dude, you can negatively impact people in a hurry.
And that's part of the process, is that like you have to prep your buyer for the lenders they're going to speak to, because they could speak to a lender who's not, who's going to qualify them for as much as they possibly can. They buy that house and then suddenly they're in pain. And like, I don't know, man, I just, we should be and could be so much better than we are, but the people that are going to be listening to this and the people that, you know, just in our, within our industry, they're looking at their paycheck. And I'm not saying the people listening to this all are, because I guarantee there's people that are like, yeah, of course.
Brett's right. Fuck them.
But like, but there's a lot of people that are looking at your paycheck. And here's the deal. You're paid too much. Real estate agents, you're paid too much because you're not earning your commission. There's a, you know, this is why we have lawsuits. You're, you have these set commissions or these ideas of set commissions. It's bullshit. It should be based on your effort, your expertise. You should know what the hell you're doing and you should be actually working for your clients and you should earn that. And even when I'm at my best, I don't know if I've earned my commission, but I'm sure as hell close.
No, that's real. I mean, that's real.
But I'm sure as hell close. Times. But that's the thing is like, Jimmy, there are so many people that do not earn their commission and it's a sales job and it kills me. Like we're car salesmen. It's ridiculous. We forget like how important this is. And when I hear people say, oh, I'll talk my clients into it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like be better, yeah. Be educated, understand what you're talking your clients into, understand what you're actually doing. Like,
it is truly a role where you have to place yourself in their shoes. It's very easy to tell them things that marry the house, date the rate. I want to punch people in the face every fucking time I hear it.
My least favorite thing is marry the house, date the rate. We started that, a year and a half ago? How'd that go for your buyers, fuckers?
People are starting to cheat on that marriage. It's going to get rough
How'd that go for your buyer? Shut the fuck up. You don't have any control over the industry. Like, you need to be an expert and actually understand what you're doing and be really good at this so that your clients are getting that as results. Because if you're not doing that, get out.
No, I agree. So when did the vision, I got to bust your balls real quick. When did the vision of BSW, now Guide, but when did the vision of BSW Real Estate, when did you start seeing the letters of your name on a wall and, you know, the ego? No, when did that
Jimmy,
come about?
I'm so glad you asked. I put BSW on my ceiling so that anyone that's, you know what, I'm not going
to. So honest to God, so I briefly named my lending team Everett's Lending, which was so more, bad. It was just out of like, I wanted an email address so I could just call it a day. Was that what BSW was? Or did you really like BSW?
No, we did BSW Group because it was under me. And then when we switched over to a new company, I talked to everyone that was working with me and everyone said, just keep it as BSW Real Estate. And it was one of those pieces. And part of the reason we switched to Guide wasn't necessarily because, you know, there was something so wrong with BSW. No. It was just, we wanted to be a guide within this industry. We wanted to be a thought leader, both for our clients as well as for the industry as a whole. And that became a large part of the conversation. I don't know, man. It's a weird thing, but like, I know there's plenty of places that are named after people's initials or like Keller Williams or like stuff like that. I get it. Totally. I absolutely understand, but I just didn't love the idea of someone saying, well, what's BSW stand for? Brett Samuel Weinstein. There's nothing about that that was appealing. You sound out that
Samuel.
Yeah, like a Samuel.
When did you know, or when did the thought of opening your own thing come about?
Well, I was at Madison & Company, and it wasn't anything that they were doing wrong or bad. I just wanted to make sure that the training was there. And, you know, Madison & Company is a great company, but it's not designed for brand new agents. Like, they've got great mentorship and great coaching, but it's not necessarily designed for that. And not to say that BSW or Guide Real Estate is designed for that, but one of the big things is I wanted to just elevate the training, the education, the collaboration. And, you know, we run into so many bad agents everywhere that it became really important to me that I was trying to make an active difference. And it's not because Madison & Company was doing anything wrong. It's because no matter what people were doing, I felt like I needed to do more. And that's also that piece of like, I can't stop myself. And that's an issue, but like, I want to be better and not better than other people, but I want to improve. I want to be better. I want to make sure that the people around me have the best that they possibly can. And like, you know, it's that selfish thing, Jimmy, you feel like you can always do it better. You can always do it different. And thankfully it's working out right now. Like,
so much of what I want to ask right now
is about my ego
ties back. ties back into who you are and your family as a person, because you're talking about dealing with new agents. Not that you don't, you have seasoned people.
The best thing that we have in though is that we have people that are doing 20 to 30 million out there right now. And we know we can get them to 50, and we know we can do it, not because we're going to retrain them on how to sell or how to be better, but about just being an expert in what you do. Because you being an expert, when you crush a deal, and this is for any real estate agent ever, if you crush a deal, you're going to get referred. If you want to come to Guide, you cannot be a churn and burn agent. You can't just get a deal and then never speak to those people again. You have to be a referral-based agent. You cannot come to this company if you're not going to get referrals.
So I'm feeling the passion. So I'm gonna make you pivot real quick.
I'm passionate. Yeah.
So when did you and Emmy reconnect? I'm gonna totally segue on you.
When did me and Emmy reconnect? Let's see. That was cheating. Don't call that.
Shut up. No,
but that was on there. It's fine. It's neither here nor there. Let's see. Emmy and I reconnected, I think, when we were, I'm going to look like an asshole if she listens to this. She showed up at my house. I was dating some girl, and then Emmy came back at the end of December of whatever year it was. And I took her to all the holiday parties with all of my friends. We went to 3 holiday parties in one night. And if you've met my wife,
your friends loved her.
They had a great time. It was fine because, well, most of my friends had met her because we were dating in our early 20s. And so like we went to 3 holiday parties and she came back to Denver from New Mexico. And I think she had been home one night. The next night she showed up with a suitcase and her dog. Yes. I'm dead serious. And I think she spent 1 or 2 nights outside of my house and that was it. Okay. But like we knew and like it was done. And you know, it was one of those things where like,
so the reason I wanted to say, and Lord knows we're going to dive back into the business because so much of it is intertwined.
How many people listen to this long though? Like, are most people zoned out?
Oh yeah. No. They're going to hear that time that you got, you know, that thing that we haven't talked about yet, but we'll
get to that. All right. Fair enough. Keep going.
So at what point you begin your relationship, your now marriage with Emmy, at what point you start having kiddos? So talk to me about, tell me about finding out you were going to be a dad. Cause we're talking about mentorship and leadership and who you are. Well, and I know this plays such a role.
I'm married and have kids now. So I was just excited that I was getting laid. I just wanted to drop that one. I saw you pause for a second. No. We took like 7 pregnancy tests. She took. I hate saying we. We were pregnant. Yeah, we were trying.
Okay.
I mean, it happened relatively. I'm not going to cry, Jimmy. No, it was one of those things where like we had already had so many of the experiences because we've dated on and off our entire lives that we were just ready. And so I don't even know if it was like a month after us getting married. It may have been on the honeymoon. I'm not doing the math right now, but I assume that it was somewhere in that range. She was pregnant relatively quickly after we got married. And, you know, 10 months later, Lucy was there and, you know, I was ecstatic. I still want to have another kid. Emmy will not do it. There's no chance she had bad pregnancies. There's zero chance that she will. Okay. But I want to have another kid. I love babies. I love kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I was a camp counselor. I don't know if it's because I've been around. Yeah, we have a big family on my father's side. I don't know what it is, but the best thing that's ever happened to me was, you know, 2 or 3 days in, I could hold Lucy and she would stop crying.
Oh yeah. It's about, yeah.
And like, magic. It was, you know, doing the skin to skin and all that stuff. It's so stupid, but like St. Joe's holds a special place in my heart. There was a huge blizzard. Lucy was born over that. She had Lucy and I was there. I was a participant in the birth by being there.
When your football team wins a game, we say we.
Yeah, but I feel like when your football team wins a game, we could say we. When your wife has a child, it is not a we.
We were in labor for 20 hours.
We were in labor. No, that's bullshit. I mean, we watch a lot of shows. She had a baby. But when Lucy came out, it was, you know, it was unbelievable. And it, the thing is, you know, and this is too much, but like,
I got to see father to a 2 month old. So
I know, but like, I got to see my
selfish,
like, and it's not, this is not a selfish statement, but it, like, she did all the work, did everything, but I got to see my child first. Cause like, I got to see Lucy coming out and like, I wasn't squeamish about it. I got to see my kid and like, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And now like, and Rose Hospital in St. Joe's, we had our Alex or Smidge at Rose. The side note, the best thing about Rose, St. Joe's didn't do this, but Rose has the nurses take the kid. And so you can sleep.
Yeah. So that's not a normal thing.
No,
oh, I didn't know that.
At St. Joe's, they certainly didn't do that. Oh, and like, geez. Granted, I don't know if like miracle. COVID or whatever, I don't know, but like when they took the kid and like they took Alex and we were like, yeah. So we just sleep now.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's funny. It's funny looking back. They're like, we're going to take her for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You get to sleep for 2 hours. We're going to bring her back. But you thought this is the shit.
Oh
this
my God.
The greatest thing ever.
If they had done that with Lucy, with our first child, I think I would have freaked out. But like with Alex, we were like, yep, take her. That sounds great. Cause like, she's not going to be safer than with you guys. But it was so magical, man.
Quick random question.
Yeah, please.
Because Alex is called Smidge so much.
Yeah.
Are there people that are around your child for a long period of time and then have to like ask what her real name is?
There's definitely people that have been around her for a long time that have had to ask what her real name is.
Does Lucy have a nickname?
I mean, I call her a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Depends on the day. She can be Lucifer. She can be Gooseface. I don't know. I mean, yeah, but there's definitely people that don't know Smidge is actually Alexandra.
That's wonderful. How, and then, so you have,
are you lost? Where do you want to go? Jesus Christ. Do you want me to just talk?
You got great stories, Brad.
Great stories.
So how far apart are they in age?
Like 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you knew we're going back. Like, did you know you were aiming for, I know you want more.
I still want more. Alex is 5. There's no fucking chance, but I still, guys, if anyone listening is about to have a baby, Jimmy, I don't want your baby. I just want to be able to come over and hold your baby. Love it so much. It makes me so happy. And like, there's something so special about like, when a baby doesn't cry or like they're calm with you. Oh my God. It's the best.
It's magic.
Even if they cry, I didn't give two shits. It was great.
How has fatherhood impacted the way you lead people?
It's been devastating. I'm glad you asked. It's really put a damper on. No, I don't know if fatherhood has really changed how I lead people, honestly. My girls are like, you know, the thing about it is, and I think this is for everyone who's, you know, married, has a family, whatever, that's your inspiration. Like we always go back to what's your why. And if you're not saying it's your kids and your wife or your kids and your husband or your kids and whatever, like you're lying to yourself. That's my why. But as far as leadership and like how I did this, maybe it's because I have a lot of issues with real estate. I really don't love it. I don't. I love when people are actively being amazing and are trying to improve themselves and are trying to get better. I love that piece. But like, it doesn't happen all the time in this industry. So for the people out there, it's not like they're my kids. It's, I view them as adults and that, you know, we have a conversation when people come over here of like, you want to be better. Otherwise, don't come here. Don't do that.
So this is good because earlier you talked about that sometimes you kind of wish that you would be more satisfied.
Yeah,
or absolutely. Feels that you don't have to do more.
Absolutely.
But it's in your nature to want to be more, improve all of those things.
Yeah.
And it sounds like when you talk to people, you kind of have that same thought process. Want more, be better.
Yeah.
Not necessarily want more. That's not accurate, improvement.
It is. It actually is accurate.
Is that tough for you to balance the idea that, you know, that you wish you held back a little bit on that and yet you have that expectation of yourself and others? That's hard. I mean, that's hard.
Here's the thing.
It's not wrong.
But I've been in real estate long enough that I know that this is a low bar industry. You pass a fucking test and you know nothing about real estate. And everyone can say the right thing in an interview. And that's why interviews are so hard. Anyone can say the right thing, but like you actually have to have the desire. You actually have to do this and want to do this.
Could you imagine if you called like somebody on, not that Wall Street always gets it right, but you call somebody on Wall Street and they're like, oh yeah, I took 20 hours of classes. I took a test and yeah, do you want to buy this Apple stock or what?
Yeah, I would kill myself. it's one of those things where like appraisers, God, the bitching that lenders and real estate agents do about appraisers is incredible, but appraisers take three times the amount of education that real estate agents do. So for us to come in and be like, well, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you dumbass. Like, I mean, there's a piece of that, but like at the same time, if you're educated and you can communicate effectively, fair. Have you met Tammy Dietz?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it took me so yeah.
She's been doing this for, I don't know, I assume 2 years because she's 22 in my head. She is fucking amazing. But like when you sit down with Tammy Dietz, who thank God she works with us and thank God she runs like our AMAP program, our agent mastery program. But when you talk to her about an appraisal, there's never an issue. You never have an issue with an appraisal because you actually have an expert. But if we talk to 95%, 99% of agents and they're going to an appraisal, they have no clue what the fuck they're talking about. But the appraisers actually have a sense. But it's one of those things where like they do so much more training. So there's an expectation that the people that are going to be here are going to be experts and they're going to get better and better.
So I have to ask. So your desire, and I feel a lot of the same way where it's this constant need to improve or the constant accountability of improvement. We can punish ourselves more so than we need. How does that relate to your family and how does that relate to your kids?
I hate myself every day, Jimmy. I hate myself every day. No, with my kids, I mean, here's the thing. They're 7 and 5 and the growth and lessons.
They better be reading at like an eighth grade level.
I mean, but here's the thing, the growth and just the amazingness of watching your kids develop, you know,
do you think that helps you like give grace to that? Cause I mean, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to turn off. That's a natural tendency you have to expect more of yourself and by nature to expect more of others. I mean, that's a very not common, like everybody has it, but I mean, the people who have that, they have it. They can't turn it off. They can't turn off the fact that they expect more of themselves and that they expect more of others. When it comes to your kids, and as young as they are, you're certainly not reaching that point yet, but I mean, has it been hard to turn that off? Or is it there? Like, do you feel at times that you expect your kids to be farther along than they are? Like, does it?
No, it goes the other way. Actually, it's not necessarily my kids. It's me. Whenever my kids aren't learning something or doing something, I feel like it's my fault and that I screwed up.
I've only been like, a father 2 months and I feel that already. I'm guilting myself for not reading to my child multiple times every day. She's 2 months old.
Here's the thing. Like we're surrounded by adults out here in real estate. So like there's a piece of that, but like my kids, whenever they're not doing something or succeeding in something, I feel like I let them down. And like, it's one of those pieces where like, oh God, my girls are still riding bikes with training wheels. They're still riding bikes with training wheels. And the reason they are is because I haven't had a chance to really sit down and like help them. And Lucy wants to get off training wheels. And frankly, she's at the point that she can, but I need to find the time to do it. And, you know, sometimes she wants to, sometimes she doesn't. And like when I have the time, she doesn't necessarily want to. But like it's one of those things where I think it's internal for me and maybe it's for everybody where I feel like I'm letting my kids down when they don't succeed at something because it wasn't something that I prioritized.
That makes so much sense.
And it sucks, but like,
you can tell I'm a new, not experienced father by that question.
But here's the thing, dude. And this is one of the things I was going to say is like, you know, with kids, when I talk to someone who's a new parent, I'm like, wait till 6 months, wait till a year. because at 6 months they start to sleep through the night and like they do substantially better. At 9 months, you're starting to see a lot more personality. At a year, you have a child who like it's real. And like for the first 6 months, it's just making it through. But at the same time, there's so many wins and it's so fucking beautiful. And it's so amazing, but I can't turn that out to like people outside of this office or like, you know, to the people in my office or to the people outside, because like, I'm not going to look at myself as disappointed if someone doesn't succeed in real estate. I'm not going to have that, because at the end of the day, like they're not my children. I'm going to give them every tool. I want them to have every opportunity to succeed. When I let people down, I blame myself. And it's the same thing. And like, listen, I have way too much internal guilt, and maybe it's Judaism. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but like I have a lot of guilt. But like it's one of those pieces where like, if everyone else isn't succeeding, and I hate this about myself, but I put it on me. So like when I see people aren't doing well or things aren't going the right way, like, oh, it's God, Lucy isn't riding without training wheels right now. It's my fault because I didn't spend more time working with her. So I really do take a lot of that inherent guilt upon myself. But at the same time, with my kids, you have a
high level of accountability. Oh, absolutely. I respect that.
But with my kids, it's different because like, it's not just based about what I've done and what I've coached and what I've trained and how I'm helping them or what I'm doing for them. It's also about them. They're their own people. And like, especially at 5 and 7, like as they're getting older, they're their own people and like, they're going to make their own choices. And the same thing for adults, but like I have a lot more influence over my own children than I do on adults. So like, I don't know, man, but
so
like,
you think,
fuck, I hope so. But like when we're, oh dude, as a side note, hey guys, apologies. This is totally a sales pitch. So my apologies. No, but Tammy, so she does a class, I think it's with 12 people right now, and it's a weekly class. They do a ton of accountability. I have been trying to give a lot of these same agents accountability for years. When Tammy does it from a different perspective, it's not just dialed in. They're doing like, we had people that were doing zero deals in the last 4 or 5 months that have now done 10 to 15. Like it's just, there's that piece of like,
okay,
we can't always be the voice.
Can I get social proof? Could me and my assistant come sit in the back quietly? And,
oh my God. Like, it's so good. Listen? Woodley, there are so many people that are just destroying it, but like it's one of those things, Ben? Where we men and women.
Oh no, did you say Ben? Woodley-Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin. Oh yeah. Oh my
God, he's crushing it. And like, I don't necessarily want to do a shout out of one person because there are so many people in there that are just destroying it right now. But like, it's one of those things where like, I wish that I could Tammy in all parts of my life, but there's so many things that are going on that I just can't do it. But like, I wish I could be that person that's holding people accountable, that's helping them grow, that is making sure that they're actually doing it successfully. But to watch her, and she has health things, she has 1,000 other things that are going on, and so do we all, but like, she is, oh my God, dude, it's so cool to watch people actually grow. And that's turning that back to our kids.
Yeah.
Just to watch them from 2 months to 3 months to rolling over to crawling to all that's it's incredible. And like, you know, I will hold myself accountable to every single thing that people do wrong. My children do wrong. Anyone does wrong. I will hold myself accountable to it. But at the end of the day, like it's not all on me, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to take it internally. Yeah. I can't help it.
Which means so you kind of answered this already, but I'm still going to cheat. What is something that has you excited? What's something that just has you fucking jazzed?
What's something that has me jazzed? Well, let's start with kids.
Yeah.
Can we start with kids? Is that okay?
It's your story, brother. Go wherever you are.
Fantastic. Alex is going to be a fashion designer as of right now. And like it is, it makes me so fucking happy. And she picks out my clothes and she does a better job of picking out my clothes than I do. Lucy is, you know, I jokingly say, thank God they're going to be beautiful, but they're both going to be beautiful, but they have such strong personalities and they're so fucking amazing. Yeah, and it's so kids. Cool.
Yeah,
what was the question? I'm sorry. I got distracted. Cause I was talking
about you're talking
what
about
am I excited about? Answering. My kids growing up is probably the best. Like my wife, I'm excited about like our relationship moving into the future. I don't think we're going to be one of those couples that like when our kids go away, that we're going to be like, oh, well, we have nothing to talk about. No, like I have the best time with her. And, you know, in general, what am I excited about? This market sucks and it's so hard. And the fact that I'm having success and the fact that I'm seeing other people have success and where this company is heading right now, I actually have a lot of excitement about it. But at the same time, I'm like everybody else. I have 1,000 fears. I have 1,000 panics. I have 1,000 panics about my own business. I don't know if tomorrow's going to be a great day or not, but like if I can take 2 steps back, it, you know, with all real estate, with everything in life, it's so hard to see the forest through the trees, right? And like, but if you can actually see the forest, you're like, oh my God, this is a great forest. But I'm stuck in the trees a lot. But like when I finally take the step back and really look at it, I'm really excited for the overall vision of what we're doing. I'm excited for my family. I'm excited for the people that I'm around, because like there's stuff that is actually working that on a day-to-day and a minute-to-minute, if you weren't asking me this right now, I couldn't tell you this, but I can tell you right now, I'm excited about the direction that everything is heading. However, it's been a horrifying few months. It's been scary. It's been hard. Yeah. It's been tough for everybody. And like, you know, the Fed has no clue, blah, 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 blah. We can dive into to those pieces, but at the same time,
they've never predicted anything accurately.
No, but like watching it right now, I'm actually excited for the future. And that's not something that I think I could say all the time. And you can put me on a stage, you can put me into a talking thing and I will destroy. Crash. I have no issues. I will tell you everything. I will tell you how to be successful. I'll tell you whatever the hell you want to hear. And like, I will do it very effectively, but it's hard to buy into that. Doesn't mean I'm wrong in anything that I'm saying. I'm right in what I'm saying. And that's ego, but like, you know, you better have some fucking ego.
More often than not. That's right.
Yeah. You better have some ego if you're in this, but like, you know, to actually be able to take a step back and be like, oh my God, Jimmy, my life is actually working. And here's the thing, in 30 minutes, I might not feel that way. I might not, because like we all go through those cycles. Like I'll be driving home, I'll get that text, I'll get that call, I'll get that email, I'll get whatever and be like, oh my God, I'm failing at everything. But right now, if we're talking about like what we're looking forward to and what's exciting, the future of what like we're actually building right now, the future of my family, the future of my kids, like that stuff is actually really exciting to me. But again, 30 minutes from now, and that's one of those hard pieces. But like when we're being introspective, it's so much easier to think of every negative than it is to think of any positive. But right now, like again, here we are. I can see the forest through the trees. There's actually a lot of good things happening, but it's really fucking hard to see. And it's really hard to say like, oh my God, is this working? Is my life actually working right now? And it is, but like, you know, then tomorrow I'll be like, oh my God, am I not making enough money? Am I not spending enough time with my children? Am I not working hard enough to make sure that everyone else is successful? Yeah. And I think that's one of the hardest parts with all of this is like, as much of a schmuck as I am, and I am, I'm a schmuck, like let's call it what it is. And for those non-Jews or the goys, that means a dirty penis. No, but it's one of those things where like I can be a schmuck and like, but at the same time, I actually really do care and I want to fix everything for everyone. And that doesn't always, it's hard to reflect that because it's hard to be consistent as a person. It really is. It's hard to be consistent in your mindset. It's hard to be consistent as a person. And everything could be going great. Then you get that one phone call and you're like, oh my God, I'm the worst thing that's ever happened. But like right now I'm excited about it. Like there's a lot of things that are going really well and that it's good.
So I've kept you. I didn't get you to cry. I'll get you to cry afterwards. So I want to end on this note.
End it.
I like to ask. Here it comes. So you're, and I love asking this of parents. So your kids are certainly already taking on certain qualities, certain traits. If you could magically guarantee that one of your qualities would be passed along to your kids, what quality would that be?
I just want them to be brave.
Did you say you're brave?
I'm not.
I'm kidding. I was totally kidding.
No, dead
being
serious.
Being
though?
Brave is serious. That's
no,
that's
but
serious.
Honestly, like,
but something it, a quality it, of yours,
it's a quality of me. Like, and here's the thing: we just talked about this. Like, I have the fear of failure, right? Like, I always do. There's always the next phone call. There's always the next text. There's always something else. But like, I want them to be brave. Like I and legitimately, and I am brave, like, because I couldn't have done this if I wasn't brave.
I apologize. I thought you were being humorous.
Which makes sense because I'm a douchebag, but there's that other piece of like, if we really take a step back and if we look at it from an outside perspective, looking in, like being brave is one of the most important things. Like
that is,
and I hate to say it, but like,
it's
for everything in our lives. Like, You have to be brave. You have to actually believe that you can do it. And I want my kids to always believe, even when there's failures, even when there's trials, tribulations, hurdles, because Jimmy, fuck, there is 1,000 of them. And like, there is plenty of moments where I'm like, I am the worst person there's ever been. I'm a failure. I can't do anything right. But at the end of the day, somehow I wake up and I keep going. And like, I just want them to be brave. I want them to believe in themselves and be brave, because like they can, my girls, my friends, my family, like the people around us, they can change the fucking world, but you have to have that, like that sense that like,
that you can do it.
I can do it. And you have to be brave. And like, I really want them to have that instilled inside of them, is to just be brave. Like, you're going to fail so many times and it's going to be awful so many times, but if you keep going, you can do whatever the fuck you want, but you can't do that if you can't be brave. And I want them to have the confidence. I want them to know how smart and amazing they are, but I just want them, because all of that plays into one answer. You're brave. Like you can do this. You're brave. And that's what I want for my kids.
You're a good fucking dude, Brett.
I'm actually a piece of shit, and I'm really good on a podcast.
Such a good answer.
No. I'm really good on a podcast. Guys, in reality, if you listen to all the way through this, I'm a schmuck. The amount of drinks that we've had during this is...
I'm telling you, that's you just seeking to be better.
Oh, dude, you can use self-deprecating humor, though. It's still funny. No, I want my kids to be brave. I want all of us to be brave. Like, and that's where you find improvement. That's where you find yourself being better. But if my kids can do that, fuck everybody else. Like, I want them to be the ones.
Attaboy. I appreciate you, brother. Very much. Very much. That is Brett Weinstein. Man.
Whew. God bless. Honor. I miss you all. Say. I love you all.
This is Mindset Matters. I am your host, Jimmy Everetts. Until I hear you next time. Peace.